Matthew 10:28, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The lesson this morning, do not fear them, but rather fear him. Before we get into that, I want to welcome everyone. We've got a good number out with us this morning. It's good to see everyone that's able to be here. We need to be praying for one another, praying for you, Brother Code, that you'll get some relief from what you have. But we just need to be praying for everybody. We all have things that we need help with or we're going through. And together, we can work as a body and promote the cause of Christ in the community and see the fruit of our efforts. So we're going to talk about some fear, and it says, do not fear those who kill the body, but can not kill the soul, but someone that can kill both. And we may not like to think about this, but this is something that is real. And when we think about killing people, there have been different ways of doing that over time. It was not uncommon in the first century for people to be crucified on a cross. It was not uncommon in different times, different places, for people to be burned at a stake. Even again during the Roman Empire, you can read about where they would take Christians and cover them in tar and put them on posts and set them on fire to light the streets of Rome. There's death by electrocution. There's death by lethal injection. There's other kinds of ways that we can be put to death. And that creates some fear. What is fear? Fear means, it may mean fear of men, fear of things, fear of situations, fear of God. And it may also mean reverence of God. Basically, this verb connotes a psychological reaction of fear. Fear is something, what this is saying, fear is something that goes on in your mind. It's how you react to something. Jacob prayed, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me, and the mother with the children. So fear can refer to being afraid of something, and it can also refer to being in awe and reverence of something, someone. Well, what are people afraid of? Just to switch gears for a minute, as we're talking about fear, do you like to look at beautiful city scenes? Would you like to look at them from up here, or that make you afraid? I don't even like looking at that picture. I've got a cousin, he's a year older than I am. Years ago, he used to work construction, and I've seen pictures of him like on top of 40-story buildings on iron beams, just working up there. I would say he's fearless. I'm fearful. Do you like relaxing in a hammock, just sitting out and enjoying the sun? Well, would you like to do it up there? We understand how our mind reacts to something like this. What are things that people are afraid of? Some people are afraid of snakes. Some are afraid of drowning. Some are afraid of spiders. Some are afraid of the dark. It's not unusual for a child to be afraid of the dark. You put them to bed, mommy, daddy, come here, come here. How about public speaking? Do you like public speaking? People are afraid of that. What are people afraid of? The list goes on and on and on. People are afraid of getting sick. People are afraid of losing something, losing their health, losing their job, losing money, losing friends. People fear the government. They fear our government. People fear other governments. They fear the election. No matter who wins this next election, we don't know what could happen. People fear strangers. And people understand that fear does something to our mind, and it's a motivator. And we spend lots of money based on fear. Just take insurance, for example. We buy car insurance because we're afraid of what might happen. House insurance because of afraid what might happen. Life insurance, funeral insurance, liability insurance. You name it, they probably have a policy that they will sell you, so you don't have to be afraid of what might happen as long as you send your monthly premium in. People buy personal protection devices because they fear what is going on around them. People spend money on alarm systems, on cameras, on sirens, because they are afraid of what goes on around them. There's this fear in our mind. The question is, do we fear God more than we fear all these other things? Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We have to ask ourselves, is our fear in the right place? So this lesson deals with a contrast with fear. Do we have our fear in the right place, or do we have our fear in the wrong place? Do we worry more about what's going on around about us and what we're going to see when we turn the TV on, what the news is, and what's happening here and what's happening there? Or do we fear God, who we are going to stand before in the judgment one day and give an account of everything that we have done? Do not fear them, but rather fear him. And fear, again, when I say it works on our minds, emotions work on our minds, and they can change our mind. Again, you take a small child and you show them something that they are afraid of. You show them one of those snakes or spiders, or put them in a dark room, and there's going to be a range of emotions that they demonstrate. A lot of them very unsettling, because it does something to their mind. And friends, the things that we are exposed to out there affects our mind. And sometimes I think we become so sensitized to things, we fear more what's going to happen here or there, or, oh, how am I going to be able to pay for this or pay for that? We fear those things more than we fear, than we have reverence and awe for God, and we fear, are we living right here preparing for when we meet him? Well, let's back up in our text in Matthew chapter 10 and look at the verses leading up to verse 28. Matthew 10:16, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents cause them to be put to death. So when Jesus tells his disciples he's going to send them out as sheep in the midst of wolves, if he told me that, that would trigger fear in my mind right off. What are the wolves going to do to sheep? They're going to eat them up. They're going to destroy them. He warns them, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, but be aware of men, because they're going to deliver you up to councils, scourge you in the synagogues. You're going to be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake. They're going to have all of these things happen to them. And on top of that, in verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And you just stop and think about these things that he tells them so far. Those are fearful things. Those are things to be afraid of. And when he says, you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, well, Jesus, shouldn't I just quit and go back home? Because I don't want everybody to hate me. See, we've got that fear as the motivator. Which fear is motivating us more? The fear of men or the fear of God? When they persecute you, what do we do then? Do we just give up and go back home? No, when they persecute you, go to another city. You keep on preaching the word. You don't be afraid of these men. A disciple is not above his teacher, verse 24, nor a servant above his master. This is what we were talking about in class this morning. Jesus is going to suffer. He's going to suffer and die. A disciple is not above his teacher. You think you're going to escape persecution? You're going to escape suffering? A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? So Jesus is saying, if they call me the devil, which they did, if they call me the devil, they're going to call you the devil too. You're going to face persecution. But he says, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So again, he's giving this comparison. Do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Friends, the person that we should be the most fearful of is the one that can destroy our body and soul in hell. In hell. That's what should motivate us when we get up out of bed in the morning. And again, back to class this morning, do we do things out of duty or out of love? It's not an either or. We do them both. We do them both out of duty because it's a debt that we have to pay. And when we do that, when we pay that debt, we pay it out of love. Well, I'm so thankful that Jesus snatched me out of the clutches of Satan. I'm so thankful that when I got on the edge of the cliff and looked down into hell, that Christ got a hold on me and pulled me back. He saved me. He saved me. And I fear the one that I serve. Because if I don't fear and respect and follow what he says, what's the alternative? Therefore, do not fear them. There's nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Therefore, is because of what transpires in the previous verses. Sometimes we might see something happen and we think, well, they just aren't going to know the truth. This is going to be covered up and nobody's going to know what really happened. Jesus says, do not fear them. There is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. And notice here the word fear is used four times in the next five verses. Everything will come out and the truth must be made known. God sees all that happens and evildoers will be held accountable for all they do and say. This is discouraging sometimes. You turn on the TV or you listen to the radio and you hear about this and that going on. You think, are they really going to get away with it? How can they get away with what they're doing? They're getting away with it for a time. God doesn't deal with things right now. That's why there's a judgment day waiting for us out in the future. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim on the housetops. So their private instructions were to be publicly proclaimed. Anything that Christ told them, they were to share. And it's interesting today, we don't see that happening. We see a lot of places preachers will preach what they think will tickle people's ears. They preach the good, the positive things. Look how good we are. Look how we love each other. They will not stand up for the gospel. And I think Paul said that he was set for the defense of the gospel. That means we're going to have to defend it. That means we're going to have to preach it. And if you're preaching something you don't have to defend, you aren't preaching the whole counsel of God. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So Jesus is making a contrast between the temporary and the eternal. Do not fear them, but rather fear him. Do not worry, do not be afraid. Focus on the temporary, but have reverence and awe for God, the God of heaven and earth. Now I have to ask myself that. How much time do I spend worrying? I use that word. How much time do I spend worrying about the temporary things of this world that's all going to be binned up, compared to how much time do I spend worrying if I am a faithful servant of God, if I am making the most of every day, if I am setting my mind, my heart on wanting to do His will, if I'm taking advantage of the opportunities that He sets before me, if I'm being a wise steward of what He has entrusted to me, or do I worry about those temporary things? And friends, Satan knows if he can get us worrying about those temporary things, he can get us worried about another one, and another one. And before you know it, we've forgotten all about God. God, oh yeah. I remember God. We should not have misplaced priorities. We're going to fear something. It's natural to fear. It's part of something in our mind. We need to fear God and not fear man. Men have power, but it's limited. In our society, the worst that anything anybody can do to us is kill us. That's what's when somebody says, what's the worst that can happen? Well, somebody can kill me, but that's not the worst thing. Jesus says this is not the worst. Jesus knows that our bodies are nothing but a temporary shell. Paul refers to it as a tabernacle, something that's going to be laid aside. You see, our soul is eternal. Fear him who can cast us into hell. And again, that word comes from Gehenna, which was the garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. That valley of Hinnom, where back in the Old Testament times, children were sacrificed there. And later at the time of Christ, it was just a garbage dump where things would be set on fire and it burned continually. People that were too poor to be buried, they would take their bodies out and throw them on the fire. And that's the word, that's the picture that Christ is using to talk about our soul. This Gehenna that Christ is talking about is eternal. God has the power that no man has. Therefore, we need to fear God. Stop and think about that again. Man can only kill our body. He can cause death. He cannot destroy our soul. God can destroy our soul. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. Some are confused about this instruction to fear God because of 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Some believe that we should not have any fear. But the Bible teaches us that fear is a part of growing to maturity. John is talking about that perfect love which casts out fear in the judgment. You see, when we obey God, when we have that love as we should, when we are walking in His steps, then we don't have fear in the judgment because we are going to be right in the sight of God. We have grown, we have matured. That's a healthy fear. That's a healthy fear. I've mentioned before, there were a couple of years when I was in my early 20s that I did electrical work. And you learn to have a healthy respect for electricity. There are things when you're wiring a house or a business you can do, and there are things you don't want to do. It's got that same power in it, but you learn and you understand that power, and you understand the consequences if you go against the laws of that power. And see, when we understand the power that God has and the consequences of going with His power or against that power, that creates a healthy fear in us, a healthy motivation. So what are we going to fear? All of those stories that we hear every day? Friends, God is the one to be feared. Hebrews 12:29, "For our God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 10:31, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God." And it was God who on Mount Sinai, He frightened the Israelites. In Exodus 20, Moses says, "Do not be afraid, for God has come, that the fear of Him may remain with you, so that you may not sin." Remember when the law was given, the earth quaked, there was thunder and lightning. That would be scary. I've never been in an earthquake, but that would be scary to be in an earthquake. When someone fears the wrath of God, it shapes their behavior. As parents, we see this in our children. They obey because they fear the punishment if they do not, but when they get older, then they obey because of love and not fear. And that is the way that God deals with us. We grow and we mature to where we obey Him. And our relationship with God should be this way, so we can grow and mature to the level of love Christians need to have. So again, I ask the question, husbands, do you want your wife to obey you because she loves you or because she fears you? Do you want her to obey you because she loves you or out of duty? You want both. It's not an either or. There's that healthy fear. And the more we fear God when we are a young Christian and we grow up, that fear is going to turn into a healthy fear. When Satan tempts us with something that's a big temptation, we say, "No way, no way. I love God, I fear God, I'm going to put God first." The word destroy here does not refer to total annihilation. There are too many passages that prove punishment lasts forever. Matthew 3:12 talks about a fire that cannot be quenched. Jesus says the worm does not die. Satan cannot destroy the soul. He does not have that power. God has that power. In verse 29, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? You know, a little sparrow isn't worth much. And God, if God knows what's going on with those sparrows when a sparrow falls out of the tree, don't you think he knows what's going on with you and me when he created us in his image and he gave us an eternal soul? If they didn't understand that, he goes on, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Again, this shows God knows us down to the smallest detail. And we think that God isn't paying attention to us. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not fear men because of the tremendous love of the one who has such power. Even if the 7-8 billion people in the world hated me and they put me to death, if I am obedient to God and following in God's word, I have nothing to fear. Even if everybody hates me and puts me to death. Because I have my Father who's going to watch over me and protect me. And this is just a temporary body. It's just a tabernacle. It's just like a tent when you go camping. We're just passing through. It's like a tent. You pull the pegs up, the stakes up out of the ground. You wrap it up and you move on. A few verses about fear. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn away from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. You see some people that have all kinds of riches in the world, yet they don't fear the Lord. It's better just to have enough to make it through the day and fear the Lord than to have an abundance. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Isaiah 33:6. Wisdom and knowledge will be stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. And Revelation 14:7. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs. Fear God and give him glory. Worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. Where do we have our fear? Is it in the right place or is it misplaced? Well, you know, there are more fears and phobias that we haven't talked about. We'll talk about just a few. These are fears and phobias of some Christians today. Some have a fear of reading the Bible. They're afraid to read the Bible. I guess they're afraid. It's just evident that they don't read the Bible. Maybe they're afraid they might read something where they need to change. change their life and they don't want to. And you know, that's one of the scary things to me. One of the things that I'm afraid of as I get older, as I have more days behind me and fewer days in front of me, God is going to hold me accountable for what's in this book. And if I've read it and obeyed it, and on the day of judgment, I can't say, well, I didn't know about that, God. He's going to say, Bruce, you had that Bible with you every day. You had that Bible with you. Were you afraid to read it? Some people are afraid of reading the Bible. Some people are afraid of prayer. Again, they just don't pray as they ought to. Some people, like we talked about in class this morning, are afraid of water. They're afraid of baptism. If you have faith, you're going to be like the Ethiopian. Look, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? You see, so many people in denominations are religious people. And you talk with them and you get around to asking them, have you been baptized? Oh, no. I believe in God. I believe in God. I said this prayer. I'm saved. Well, why aren't you baptized? Why aren't you baptized? Some people have a fear of family. They have a fear of family. And this comes down to a matter of priorities again. Someone in the family calls up and says, hey, Bruce, the family's coming in from out of town, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We want you to come over. Come over and we're going to have a get-together with the family. What do we do? We say, okay. No, we've got to, in a loving way, even though they're our family, the blood of Christ is stronger blood than the blood of my earthly father and mother. When I made a commitment to Christ, I made a commitment 100%, not when it's convenient. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful of what we get into and what we get our children into, because we think this isn't going to have an effect on them. But when they grow up, they aren't going to remember what you said, but they're going to remember what you did and where you went. We need to be careful. Some have a giving phobia. Well, if I give to the Lord, I'm not going to have money to pay my cable bill this month, or my new phone. I just bought a new phone. You know, I've heard people give so many excuses. And for a time, we had some rental properties. And renters are good until they aren't. And then they come up with 101 excuses of why the rent isn't due. Well, my car broke down. I had to do this. I had to take care of that. Well, it's Christmas time. You know, I've got to buy presents for our little girl. You don't want her to have Christmas without me buying presents for my little girl. People come up with all kinds of excuses. What excuse do we have for not giving to the Lord? And again, it's not our money. He just loans it to us. And He's going to bless us, again, for how we use what He gives us. Some people have a teaching phobia. You want to teach class? Oh, someday I will. Someday. And someday never comes. Some Christians have a soul-winning phobia. You know, I'm scared to talk to people. I'm afraid to talk to people. What if somebody laughs at me? What if they laugh at me? I just can't stand that. Friends, do not fear them, but fear Him. What is the greater fear that we have? Do we have a greater fear that somebody is going to laugh at us if we hand them a card and invite them to Bible study? Do we have a greater fear of that, or a greater fear of standing before God one day? Do we fear them or do we fear him? Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who shall stumble and fall. Friends, where is our fear? Is it misplaced? We need to have a healthy, reverential fear for God. We need to put him first in our lives. We need to start by becoming one of his children, being baptized for the remission of our sins, putting our faith and trust in him, taking one day at a time, and do not be afraid. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.